Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The election of new Governor Mike Dunleavy comes with some unknowns, including how his administration will address climate change. As KCAW's Emily Kwong reports, the situation has left a statewide climate action leadership team in limbo.
In September, a group of Alaskans handed Governor Bill Walker a 37-page playbook of policy ideas for climate change. Some ideas were focused on reducing the state's carbon footprint. Others sought to help villages with eroding coastlines. And their document begins with a declaration that says, quote, "The state has an obligation to take bold action." Now, compare that to the words of now Governor-elect Mike Dunleavy during the debates.
Alaska is not really a smokestack state. Our contribution to climate change is probably minimal. So I think what we need to really focus on is making sure that we have Alaskans going to work. We make sure that we use technology when we can to reduce emissions. But in the long haul, Alaska's contribution to climate change, once again, is minimal.
So Dunleavy concluded, Alaska need not act. Those remarks have many on the leadership team fretting about the future of their climate change plan. Lisa Bush is the director of the Sitka Sound Science Center and one of two Sitkans on the 21-person team appointed by Governor Bill Walker last year. Bush sees their work as a call to action across every sector of the economy and every level of government.
It really is just the start of our state trying to be a leader in the nation for decreasing greenhouse gas emissions.
And it's work administrations past and present have been subtly doing since 2007. That's when then-Governor Sarah Palin created a climate change sub-cabinet that continues to meet. Bush was pretty delighted to discover that.
The state agencies have been working on this stuff for a while. Since 2014, the state has a no idling policy for state vehicles. They are thinking about resiliency and sustainability in every new road construction project. They're studying alternative fuels for the state vehicle fleet. They're already doing quite a bit.
And this is the cabinet that took all of the team's climate change recommendations into consideration and issued an early actions plan, cherry-picking stuff the state can do right now. But the election has changed all that. Walker is out. Will the climate action plan and the team that wrote it continue under Governor-elect Dunleavy? His transition team did not respond to KCAW's request for comment, nor did the state DEC commissioner. As for those on the climate action leadership team, they have not met since the election and are in the dark about whether their work will continue beyond this year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
The state of Alaska is suing the Bureau of Land Management over ownership of the middle and north forks of the 40 Mile River in the eastern interior. It's the latest move in a decades-long state effort to gain title to Alaska waters. The state notified the BLM of its intent to sue for ownership of the middle and north forks of the 40 Mile 6 months ago. State Assistant Attorney General Jesse Alloway says in some previous cases, notification alone has prompted the federal agency to agree to the transfer of rivers.
They have yet to do that for the middle fork of the 40 Mile and the north fork of the 40 Mile, which is why we filed the lawsuit.
States are granted ownership of land underlying rivers, which at the time of statehood were navigable for commerce. Alloway says the state and federal government define navigability a little differently, with the state maintaining a less restrictive standard.
So if someone is floating in their raft to go fishing and they have, you know, bags in there with their camp gear that exceed 1,000 pounds, that's basically the equivalent of showing that someone back in 1940 could travel that waterway carrying freight.
Despite what the term navigable suggests in everyday use, it's not equatable to boatability.
BLM Alaska Deputy Director Erica Reed says the federal agency goes by a navigability standard set in an 1870s U.S. Supreme Court case.
The test is whether or not the river has been used or was susceptible for use in its ordinary condition as an avenue of commerce, and this standard is applied at the date of statehood.
That requires documentation of historic commercial use or proving a river was susceptible to commerce based on present-day use, but Reed says the latter hasn't been clearly defined by courts.
So that is a potential area of disagreement between the state and the United States.
Reed would not discuss the current state-filed suit, but notes that river ownership can also be determined outside of court through what's known as the Recordable Disclaimer of Interest Program, a process the state's Alloway describes as slow, costly, and ineffective. A few dozen Alaska rivers transferred since statehood include other branches of the 40 Mile, something Alloway says should simplify BLM consideration of the Middle and North Forks.
We're all talking about the same area, and the rivers are relatively of the same size. They have the same rainfall, same physical characteristics, or very similar characteristics. So I don't yet know why the United States has yet to change their position. Ultimately, we'll find out via this lawsuit.
Alloway says the BLM has 60 days to respond to the suit. As for the importance of state ownership, Alloway points to Anchorage hunter John Sturgeon's challenge of a National Park Service hovercraft ban on the Nation River, a case currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. Alloway says the state can be party to it because it successfully sued for title to the Nation River 40 years ago.
The litigation happened in the 1970s, but the state ultimately prevailed, and the federal government had to recognize the state's ownership. So that's what allows us to ultimately fight the Sturgeon matter today.
Alloway notes that the Supreme Court's decision in the Sturgeon case will affect the scope of state management authority on rivers it owns. A Fairbanks North Star Borough organized group is forwarding dozens of recommendations for how to improve local air quality to the state for consideration. KUAC's Robin reports.
It was the last gasp, so to speak, of the air quality stakeholders group. The 30 professionals and consumers were appointed by area mayors and had the directive to come up with a working list to reduce air pollution. And they came pretty close. But with divergent agendas, and some said divergent values, it was hard to agree on what is best. Health advocates put clean air first, and freedom advocates want fewer regulations. Rick Soley, representing the Chamber of Commerce, spoke against inspection warrants, even though they're working in Anchorage. He says they might not be good for interior Alaska.
I think this is absolutely the wrong direction in our town. I think we're trying to get voluntary compliance, and you don't do it with warrants.
The body removed that recommendation from the package they worked on. One recommendation allows families who have no alternative source of heat, called no ash, to use their wood stoves even on the 30 or so days per year when the air is most polluted. Another recommendation would require a home inspection for a family to get that no ash status. Suggestions include prohibiting the sale of solid fuel burning appliances, that means wood, coal, and pellet stoves, that don't meet state standards, or not allowing them as a sole source of heat in any new construction. There are three pages of suggested strategies. Jennifer Schmidt, representing Health and Medical, said the recommendations needed more teeth to make egregious bad burners stop polluting.
To go through all of this and not even be able to bring a fine of $50 or $100 or $200, what is going to make anybody change?
The body approved a measure suggesting the state give polluters citations. The appointees discussed their ideas for the last time yesterday. The group will now disband. The list of strategies will be sent to DEC, the legislature, and the Environmental Protection Agency. It will also be posted on the Fairbanks North Star Borough's air quality website. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.